Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Columbo, right here for you. And we are at 12:30 on the West Coast today. We had a little technical problem, so 12 o'clock didn't work for us, but they're doing some new things at the studio, so it made a difference. And so we're okay now. The line is clear, the studio line, and we are going to welcome our very special guest. In just a little bit. His name is Herbie J. Pilato. He is a returning guest. He is an author, an actor, and he has a new book. It's called Retroactive Television. So we're going to have to hear more about that because we want to know what is retroactive television. Got our little minds working here. So many changes in the media and in the internet and social media and Hollywood. So it's going to be really exciting to hear from Herbie J. Pilato. And he's going to tell us what's coming up in his future and also about his earlier books and what is available in audio form. And so that will be very, very intriguing because audio is very important today. It's not an easy thing to do, but once you get it done, people can listen in a car. They can listen on their lunch hour. They can listen during their breaks. They can take a break, actually, from watching television or social media or listening to the news and listen to their favorite audio tape. So that is what's happening, and we're going to take a little break right now because speaking of books, I have a famous book. It is an International Irwin Award winner, and it is a winner for political satire, and it is not just a book. It is a message for the world. And critics say it will make readers very concerned about our humanity and about our free will and free choice, which is very, very important to every American who enjoys freedom, liberty, rights, as well as making choices for themselves. Instead of having people make choices for us. Very, very important. And so I want you to listen to this important message, and we will be back in just a moment.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
That's right. Get it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, your favorite bookstore, and tell them to order it for you, and they will.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
The Justice Club is back on Columbo Chronicles Live Podcast. Join Rose Columbo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Yes, listen up to Columbo Chronicles Live. We are also now on YouTube, so go in the search box and type in Columbo Chronicles, and you can listen to today's show by tonight if you miss it, all of it, and also you can scroll on down and listen to any of your favorite topics and guests. So you can listen on Block Talk Radio. You can also listen to it on YouTube now. We expanded our audience, and so we're trying to build it up. So please be sure to like and subscribe. And today we have our very special returning guest. He is a dynamic producer, actor, writer. His name is Herbie J. Pilato, great Italian name. And he's from New York. And also he is very involved in Hollywood. And he just has a brand new book, Retroactive Television. So let's get started at that point and join our very special guest on the world of authors and experts and say hello. Hello, Herbie. Sorry about that last connection, but we're okay now.
Finally happened. If I feel like I haven't talked to you for years.
I know. It's so crazy, huh? I mean, you just don't know, you know, when you go live, what the heck's going to happen. But the two things happened with you this time, and I couldn't believe it. Usually it just goes smooth, you know, but what are you going to do,
You know, when that kind of thing happens, usually if, you know, if people are to express something good or share some positive message, which I'm going to do hopefully today, that means that there are negative spirits who try to stop that from happening.
Oh, I didn't even think about that, and I believe you're absolutely right. And today we are going to talk about something exciting. First, go ahead and tell our audience, for those who don't know, some things about your background you think they would be interested in, and then I'm going to ask you about your new book.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was born and raised in Rochester, New York, beautiful Italian family, Italian-American family, a big family, and I came to Los Angeles, and I guess really formally in 1983, studied at UCLA, went to NBC, got my internship there, started out acting on General Hospital, TV shows like The Golden Girls as well, and then I just swayed toward writing because I became obsessed with Bewitched, which I always loved as a kid. Wrote a reunion movie, Elizabeth Montgomery didn't want to do the reunion movie. And then I said, how about we do a book? And all of a sudden I became an author. And 15 books later, here I am.
Well, Herbie, you know, you wrote that wonderful book about Christmas. And tell us a little bit about that book, because that was the last time I spoke with you was right before it was being published. And how did it go? And tell us a little bit about that, because that was an interesting book to me.
Yeah, that really is truly, even beyond what I'm doing now, probably my favorite of all my books of all time, because it has to do with my life growing up in Rochester at Christmas time in the 60s and 70s. And I tried to make the message universal that each chapter is really a secret, and each secret is a message for the reader that, you know, no matter how you celebrate the holidays, as long as you celebrate with love, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, all the different religions, it's love, you know. So that really is truly my favorite book, 12 Best Secrets of Christmas. Hopefully when the strike ends, you know, in Hollywood and all the craziness, with, you know, the writer's strike and the actor's strike, that book will one day be transformed into a TV movie or maybe even a feature film.
Yeah, that would be great. I'd like to see that. It's kind of like heartwarming to me because, you know, it has so many aspects to not only the Italian family, which I grew up with my grandparents and loved it, and then also the kindness and the acts of kindness that you expose in the book, I think are so important. And also there's messages for people, for humanity, don't you think? Don't you think so?
Oh no, absolutely. And it could easily be called the 12 Best Secrets of Hanukkah, you know, or whatever. It's, again, it's for all cultures, all religions, all people. It's all about diversity and acceptance. And down the road, I don't know when, but down the road, there most likely will be, you know, the 12 Best Secrets of Summer. And someone said I should call the one about Halloween the 13 Best Secrets of Halloween. And yada, yada, yada. So we'll see what happens.
That sounds cute, too. I know I'm a poet, too. I've got published poems and awards for that. And I wrote a poem on Christmas. I wrote a poem on Halloween. And, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of fun, you know. And I like all the holidays. I think they're fun. And I think they should be, you know, not so deeply thought about in a negative way, but in a more fun way, because that's how we grew up. We grew up with it all being fun and exciting, you know, and that's what I like about your books. And so
yeah,
now...
It was a simpler time, you know. Everything is so complicated, and which is why, of course, I love classic television from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, which is what the retroactive television book is about. It really is... the center of the book is the positive message of classic TV shows that is really the theme throughout all of my books, but I don't explore it as in detail as I do with retroactive television. So I'm very grateful the Los Angeles Book Festival, the Los Angeles Book Festival, not the Los Angeles Times Book Festival, but the Los Angeles Book Fest named the book of the year for 2023.
Wow.
And in consequence, I became author of the year because of that book.
That's fantastic. Congratulations. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun to be in the book fairs. I had Obamasaurus was in the book fair. It's political satire at Frankfurt. And then Is America Under Martial Law was a question, and that was in the Guadalajara Book Fair, and then Dressing Up and Dressing Down was in competition at the London Book Fair, and that one was on TikTok, and it got, like, before it even came out, it got, like, 11,200 hits a month, and I was like,
wow.
Oh, my God. I know, I was excited about that. Yeah, so, yeah, the book fairs are fun, you know. So I'm proud of you. So, Herbie, tell us more about retroactive television. What are some of your favorite shows? Because I love watching the old television shows. I love it.
I just watched an episode of The Mod Squad last night. And, oh, my gosh, what a beautiful show. It was produced by Danny Thomas and Aaron Spelling. It was one of Aaron Spelling's first productions before he partnered with Leonard Goldberg all the way. But, yeah, Mod Squad, it was really ahead of its time. It dealt with all the issues of the 60s, and it was a really hip-type series. Julie, played by Peggy Lipton, and Clarence Williams III, played Link, and Pete Cochran was played by Michael Cole. And their boss was three detectives in disguise, or as young kids. And their boss was Tige Andrews. He was their captain. And it was really Aaron Spelling's favorite of all of his shows because it dealt with those social issues. He went on to do a lot of three type detective shows later, The Rookies, Charlie's Angels, or at least partners like Starsky and Hutch and SWAT. They all were groups. And he went on to do Family and The Love Boat and Fantasy Island. But it was his favorite show. Everybody thinks that Aaron Spelling's favorite show is Family with Seda Thompson and Chris McNichol. But it wasn't. He liked that show, but his favorite of his shows was The Mod Squad.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that's very interesting. I know that, you know, there were so many great shows that when you look back at them, you know, and you actually watch them, it's like the funny ones are just pure funny. I mean, you just laugh your head off, you know, and there's no cursing. There's no, you know, there might be some sexual, you know, little things here and there, but it's not raw. You know what I mean? It's not in your face.
Right.
And
it's
that's charming. It's fun. It's charming. That's a good word for it. And I can sit here and just laugh and laugh, you know, or I'll watch maybe the old Johnny Carson shows with some of the comedians. Oh, my God, you're so funny. I mean, it's like, or Dean Martin, you know, and Frank Sinatra, some of those clips he'll show, like on the roast.
Yeah.
You know, oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
They're so funny. Yeah. I mean, these people were naturally funny. You know,
yeah.
They had a natural sense of humor. And they had their own little, they had their own personality, right? Their own look, their own personality. You know, you knew who they were instantly.
Which is sadly missing from today. Both charm and personality is sadly missing from the stars of today. I mean, the people who become stars, I don't know, they do a YouTube video and they're a star. What the heck? I mean, where is the stage presence? Where is the years and years of, you know, performing live and then becoming a star? It just doesn't exist anymore.
No, everybody, you know, that hits the tube or the, you know, the internet or what is a star, you know. People ask me, you know, oh, so-and-so, and I'm like, I don't even know who that is. You know, oh, you don't know who that is? No, I don't know who that is. I could tell you all the real movie stars are, and you know, but you know what's so funny, Herbie, is because when I was a little kid, I loved, I don't know why, Robert G. Robinson.
Who?
Oh,
you mean Edward G. Robinson.
Edward, I'm sorry, yeah. I was like, I think I used the wrong name. Yeah. Edward G. Robinson.
Yeah, he was.
I don't know why I said Robert,
He did a movie where he was a gangster. I can't think of the name of it. He did a movie where he was a gangster and he became a monk. And I just saw that the other day, and it was so different. Because, of course, all of his movies were gangster movies except The Ten Commandments. But he did this other gangster movie where he became a monk to, like, incognito, or he was looking for a different life. And it was just a really beautiful.
Oh, I missed that one. When I was a kid, I loved watching his movies. And when I was a teenager, my girlfriend and I drove to one of the red carpets where they used to just drive up to the theater or walk past it, you know, to their car. And we were, she knew where this little space was in the alley where we get a front row seat of watching the stars coming by to the theater. And he walked by with his wife, who was taller than he was. And I jumped out of the car. I was just a teenager. And I got so excited. Of all the movie stars, I was so excited to see Edward G. Robinson. And I shouted, Ed! As loud as I could. And he turned around and he looked me up and down and he said, Hiya, kid. Like in the movie. I never forgot that. I was so excited. I felt like I was in one of his movies.
it was so exciting.
Yeah, they just
had
so much character, you know, and they really played the part. You forgot who they were. You thought they were the character, you know. That was amazing. You know, it's like, oh, my God. And there's some, you know, movie stars that, you know, they say a little long. Something like Cool Hand Luke. Remember that movie? Cool Hand Luke with Paul Newman?
Yes, yes.
I always remember the line where she said, "What we have here is a lack of communication." And the way he said it, it just stuck in my head.
Yeah.
So they were, I mean, those were true, you know, actors and actresses that you remember what they said, you remember what they wore, you remember what they did, how they looked. I mean, they just, they were true movie stars. And, I mean, we still have some, but we're speaking about, you know, the classics and things like that. But so tell me some more about your book, Retroactive Television. What else can we look forward to when we read it?
It's a very in-depth book. It's a big book. And I've interviewed people like Ed Spielman, who created Kung Fu, Eric Scott and Michael Learned from The Waltons, Larry Wilcox from Chips. And we, you know, all of us discuss in the book the positive message of classic TV shows, which has been, you know, my thing all along, as I said with my other book, that there are people in the world who became doctors because of Marcus Welby, M.D. There are people in the world who became attorneys because of Perry Mason. Families learn to communicate better because of the Brady Bunch, the Partridge Family, and Father Knows Best, and Ozzie and Harriet. And, you know, it's just an untapped resource of education is the way I look at it. Positive classic TV shows. It's an I'm not talking about PBS, which I love, but I'm not talking about something so obviously educational. I'm talking about mainstream pop culture TV shows that might not seem to be educational, but are.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, do you remember The Life with Riley?
No, I do not remember it directly, but I know of it.
Yeah, and I was a little kid, and I still remember that. And that's the memory, though, of these shows. They do have it. They did have an impact on you, you know, even if you're a little kid. You know, you still remembered something from those shows. And I actually looked them up. I researched them from, you know, my childhood, because it's like they stuck in your head because they're memorable. They did something to children to make them, you know, remember something about maybe respect or being punished for doing something wrong, or, you know, it could be anything. But today, they weren't glorifying things that kids shouldn't be doing. and so there was more respect, don't you think, for parents, for country, for themselves, that they had to learn more respect.
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out when it all changed. I was talking to one actress the other day because I'm doing a new book about Christmas and Christmas TV shows. And I was talking with Tina Cole from the King family, who later played, you know, Don Grady's wife on My Three Sons. I said, when did it all change? When did the loss of respect on TV families and families in real life, when did it all? And she said, I think personally, she said, it all began with the pill. You know, the pill came out. Sex became, you know, free, and the sexual revolution began, and that was, you know, the beginning of the end of respect.
Oh, yeah, well, the feminists and the, and I'm nothing against feminists, but I think it went to extreme. I like some of the things, but I also think some of the things went to an extreme. And I mean, I'm, you know, for equal pay, equal work, that kind of stuff, you know,
of course.
Stuff like that. But I am not for teaching young girls that, you know, you can just have sex like some men do, you know, like with everybody, anybody, you know, with just lust, no love, because that girl is going to be very, very hurt because she mistakes sex for love.
Right, of course.
You know, a lot of young girls give in because they think, oh, he's going to love me if I give in to him, you know. And then it turns out the guy never calls her again.
A lot of adults make poor decisions in sex. And so they have kids, you know, who don't know what the heck is going on. You know, put them in those kinds of situations. It's insane. And it's abusive.
It is abusive, and it's just, I mean, kids today know so much sex, I mean, raw sex, and, you know, whereas in the past, you know, it was actually sacred between two people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
if some man or some guy wanted to date you, you know, they had to show respect for you. They couldn't just say,
right.
Hey, let's go jump into bed, you know, and
right,
and then what about, you know, like, you know, they're walking around in the nude now. What do you think about that? I mean, we're off the subject now, but I'm just kind of curious.
Where are they walking around the nude? Where is that?
Oh, like at the beaches, they wear a G-string and hardly nothing.
Well. You know, I mean, that's a whole other thing. There's just, people are doing things today just to do them, to see how far they can push the envelope. It's just to see how much they can shock you. So everybody is just looking for attention, you know. Unfortunately, they don't know how to find attention in more subtle, respectful ways. So they have to do outlandish things. You know, people can look at. People should be able to do whatever they want to do, and I'm not going to sit in judgment of anybody. But when you end up hurting people, that's the issue. When you end up, you know, causing some kind of abuse one way or the other, whether it's physical, emotional, psychological, sexual, whatever, then you draw the line. So if people are walking around free with their body, especially in front of kids, to me that's abuse.
Yeah, I mean, I was asking because, you know, people are like, oh, this person, this girl got raped and this one and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, but look what they're wearing or not wearing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that the reason why you have to teach your kids, you know, to respect for themselves is because of the dangers out there, for one thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and if a young girl gets pregnant, her life just, you know, that's it. You know, you're not going to college probably, and you're going to be a mom, or you're going to have to give up this child. I mean, you have to make some really tough decisions at a young age, especially if the guy disappears or doesn't want to marry them. And then even though if they're forced to marry them, you know, by guilt or whatever, or give the baby the name or whatever, then that's another problem. So I think it goes back to what you were saying about the movies from the past and the retroactive television shows that just taught us so much more about life and family and the importance of respect for ourselves first and then teaching others that same respect came from a lot of those shows, right?
Absolutely. And that's because, not just because of the actual dialogue or the stories, but the characters were well-formed. Today, the characters are not three-dimensional. The characters are like stand-up comedians doing stand-up routines on sitcoms. There's no stories. They're just actors and comedians doing stand-up routines. And I don't see any storylines. I don't see any character interactions. So that's a whole other issue, you know. And God, you know, only knows what's going to happen with you know, when AI, if AI takes over, you know, God only knows what's going to happen.
I am totally concerned about AI because it takes away your the thought process. It takes away your imagination, takes away your creativity. It takes away your critical thinking, because if you can say, hey, AI, I have to write a thesis on such and such for college. Would you write it for me? Yeah,
yeah.
Sure. That's scary.
Yeah. It is.
And so if they think that they're going to replace people, you know, in the movies with these robotic or animated characters, totally. Yeah, some of those are really great films, but not all of them. People like real people. They like to watch real people. They like to interact with the real person. So when we see a really good TV show or a really good movie today, people are so happy when they walk out of the theater, Herbie.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, they're not sorry they had to pay whatever they had to pay to go see it. And there's nothing mm-hmm. more disappointing than walking out of the theater and being so disappointed that you spent that money and it was disappointing.
Yeah.
And so there's only been about two, I can think of three movies that I wanted to walk out on, but I thought the person I went with liked the movie, so I didn't say anything. But I truly mm-hmm. wanted to get up and walk out. And those are three top of my head, but that isn't, you know, actually I just thought of four. But anyway, Ruby, what are your favorite shows from the past? Which ones would you pick?
My favorite shows, I would say, well, Bewitched, of course, but that's in its own world. Twilight Zone, Star Trek, Dick Van Dyke Show. The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. Father Knows Best, because it's a more than a sitcom and more than a family show. It's the actual dramedy. Medical Center, I think, is terrific. And I just started rewatching that. Those stories were great. And Chad Everett is so charismatic. Mod Squad, Charlie's Angels. It's absolutely, you know, fluff. And the writing and sometimes the acting is not so wonderful, but it sure is a heck of a lot of fun to watch. Farrah Fawcett is absolutely beautiful, and Cheryl Ladd did an amazing job replacing her, but no one really could have ever replaced Farrah. So, I mean, so many shows.
I know. There really are. There's... And they were so, they each had their own personality, you know, like, I don't know. And the game shows, too. Which game shows did you like? We had a lot of game shows back then.
Oh, I loved Password. I loved Password. I loved the dating game and the newlywed game, which kind of came back for a while as Love Connection and shows like that. But the other ones, yeah, the originals were great. I loved Split Second. I worked Wheel of Fortune years ago at NBC when Pat and Vanna were just starting out. And they were both sweet people, by the way. I loved the talk shows, Merv Griffin, Mud Douglas, certainly Johnny Carson, which I also worked. I mean, there's just so many great shows that Perry Mason, love it. Mayberry RFD, the Andy Griffith Show, on and on. I do not watch new shows. At nighttime, when I'm ready to wind down and relax, put in my DVDs.
Well, I agree with you. I don't watch the news at night either. I don't want to go to bed and think about the news. It's too toxic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't watch any of the new shows. I don't watch any of the new
sitcoms,
the new dramas, none of that stuff.
Well, I think that, you know, I can't think of any I watch either, Dasher, because I'm so busy watching the ones that I know are really good, and you can go back and still laugh, or you can still be touched by the movies that they made, the human interest. Like, I love the story Summer Place. I love the story Splendor in the Grass. Fanny.
Yeah,
I don't know if you remember those. Oh my God, it's a great love story. I love Wuthering Heights, the original one. Oh my God,
yes.
I just, you know, my girlfriend and I would get together, and if we knew it was coming on, and we'd sit there and cry together at the end. I mean, Gone with the Wind, it's long, but it's so beautiful.
Wow, it's terrific movie.
Little Women, you know,
mm-hmm.
Little Women is fabulous. And I watch The Wizard of Oz every single year, you know,
sure.
At the holiday season. We all do. You know, so, yeah, they're just fun movies and so wonderful. So tell us now. I know that you have things coming up in the future. And so what about your I also read that your earlier books are going to be in audio form.
Yes. Butch Upon a Star, Mary, the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Mary, the Mary Tyler Moore Story, and Retroactive Television, all of them will soon, within a month or so, if not sooner, be available on audiobook form, in audio book form. Actually, the retro book is available for pre-order now. If you go to Amazon.com, you can look up my name and search my books and go to Retroactive Television, and you can pre-order the audiobook edition.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic.
And then my Sean Connery book, the new biography, is coming out this fall, and that too will be available as an audio book.
Yeah, well, tell us a little bit about Sean Connery. I mean, he was so gorgeous.
Now,
he
definitely had charisma, and it was a hard book to write because there had been other books about him, a lot of other books about him, and you know, I wanted this book to be different. I wanted it to cover his life extensively, like never before. I wanted to address his films that he's done beyond James Bond. But I also wanted to talk about James Bond. And then I had to address the whole thing that, you know, he had issues with his first wife. His wife had issues with him. You know, control issues. But he was a good person. That doesn't mean that if he did hit his wife, which she accused him of doing, that didn't make it right. But certainly he was of the era where guys, it was acceptable to do that. And there were a lot of women who liked macho, abusive men. So it's not a black and white issue. And it was a very, very difficult book to write because he was a good person, but he definitely had issues, just like the rest of us. Who doesn't have issues?
Who doesn't have issues? You got that right. You don't want my list.
Nor mine.
Someday we'll sit down and we'll compare lists.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was a different era. You know, like my dad, he, I don't know how he never hit my mom. She had a temper. And my dad was real, you know, just fun, easygoing Italian. You know, he was like funny,
mm-hmm.
always joking and hard worker and, you know, and but he was very strong and muscular too from his work, and very handsome too. And he said, I will never hit a woman ever,
mm-hmm.
because
right.
I would totally injure her if I hit her.
Well not only, yeah, but the thing is, the point too is that not only should no man ever hit a woman, but no man should ever hit another man, and no woman should ever hit another man, and no woman should hit another woman. Nobody should hit anybody. That's the point.
Exactly. That is the point. Mm-hmm. That is exactly the point. But sometimes, you know, people get so provoked, you know. I mean, people aren't there. You know what I mean? People aren't
right.
at the situation. I was watching a YouTube video on Twitter. It was just a little clip. But, I mean, this girl was trying to keep this other girl away from her and kept telling her, you know, go away, leave me alone. But she wouldn't stop. And she kept trying to hit the other girl, you know. And even though she could for a while keep her at arm's distance, she wouldn't go away. And even security couldn't, you know, get her to go away. So the other girl just said, I'm gonna knock you out if you don't, you know, get away from me. Just leave me alone. And boom, she hit mm-hmm. her, you know, and security didn't do anything to her because the other girl was provoking it so bad she would not go away. So it really depends on the situation, you know, where you can just only take so much, you know. I assume,
exactly.
you know.
Which also brings me back to Sean and his wife. Only Sean and his wife, both of whom are dead now, only those two knew what happened in that relationship. So, and I make that point in the book. You know, someone said this, and she said this, and then Sean said that, and then one of her friends said this, and then one of his. Nobody knows what really happened in that relationship, you know, except those two people. So nobody really has the right to talk about anything unless it directly affects them. That's the other point.
Well, I think it's a really good point because it's true. You know, unless you are witnessing something and you are actually there physically, you don't know what happened. You have no clue what happened to provoke somebody to do something. And sometimes, you know, we're human beings, you know. It's like, okay, we can only take so much. That's it, you know. And,
right.
you know, and I mean, even cops, you know, you see them, you know, like, well, why is he pouncing on that guy? Well, we don't know what happened before that. You know, you just see this video clip, you know. We don't know what happened. And so that's why I always say, you know, like, don't be judging people because let the law, let the trials and the law go forward so they can have their day in court and they can see the evidence in court and tell the testimonies in court and figure it out from there because we can look at anything and make a decision immediately, which people do, you know, with the internet now. And they have no clue if anybody's innocent or guilty because they weren't there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So going back to your book, though, hey, remember Perry Mason?
Love Perry Mason. I watch it all the time.
I don't know. When we're talking about the legal system, his name popped in my head. maybe he's downloading into my head. Don't forget me. Yeah, that was a good show, too, huh? That's a really good show.
It was well done. You know, also I wanted to mention Gunsmoke. The first 6 years and a half hour episodes were tremendous. They did more. Those episodes are so tightly written that when the show expanded into an hour, it was not as good as it was when it was just a half hour because they stretched the stories too much. So, yeah, Gunsmoke is another one. Excellent. Violence is all get out. But beyond the violence, it was an excellent series.
I love Westerns. I always have. Maybe because
yeah.
I grew up with them, you know. I just love them, you know. And so I miss them, you know. So whenever a Western comes out, which I think is going to be good, I will – go see it because I think kids miss a lot, you know, from those Western movies. I just think it's part of America. You know, in those days, there was
Absolutely.
Real cowboys out there and, you know, and things are so different. And you know, so yeah, I do. I like the Westerns. And so tell me something, Herbie, you're a script writer. What's the difference between then and now? Because if I've watched movies, and I have my kids hooked on, and my grandkids too, hooked on these classic movies, and they're just fascinated with them. And so, but they have so many twists and turns in some of those movies that are so amazing. And what's the difference now? Is it like a formula instead of all that real talent and creativity that went into those writers who actually wrote those twists and turns that you didn't expect in the movies and the whodunits and all that? What's the difference between then and now? Does it have to do with money and financing?
No, it has to do with talent. The way movies and TV shows are made today is insane. First of all, they're all lit too dark. Nobody can see anything. The sound mixing is horrible. Nobody can hear anything. All the actors mumble. Nobody can hear or understand what the actors are saying. The special effects and the music and the background are louder than the dialogue. The writing is just horrific. You know, we're talking about cursing. Every other word is a curse word just because they can. It serves no dramatic purpose. F this, F that, F this, F that, F this, F that. And if the word F did have a dramatic effect, they overuse it to the point where it could use have a dramatic effect. It's too late. And they dilute the impact that that word could have if somebody stubbed their toe or killed somebody. Then you say the F word. There's a lot wrong with storytelling. And they don't. These people do not know how to make movies. I don't care what everybody says. Movies, there's a lot of great movies out there. There's a lot of great TV shows. I'm not seeing them. There's no beginning, middle, and end. There's no happy endings. God forbid there's happy endings. They don't have happy endings anymore. Everything has to be edgy. Everything has to be mean-spirited. Everything has to be sardonic and sarcastic. And everybody looks alike. Everybody acts alike. So there's a lot wrong with it. There's no individualism in filmmaking today. No, none.
You mentioned all the things that are most of them that I complain about, like the F word. I'm like, who needs to hear that 20,000 times in the movie? Don't they have – what's wrong with these writers? Don't they have any lines to actually write other than use the F word every other sentence? I mean, it's just ridiculous. It just takes away from the whole movie. I mean, I don't care if it's a mafia movie. They don't say it that many times. I'm Italian. You're Italian. They don't say it that many times.
Yeah,
holy smokes,
that's right.
You know? I mean, it's crazy. And then it does. It takes away from the movie, and it's like, oh, gosh, I'm going to turn this one. And then the raw sex. I mean, who needs it? You know what I mean? Remember how everybody knows how to do it. And so, I mean, who needs that in their living room? You know what I mean? It's like, no. So I'm fast-forwarding, you know? I mean, people have kids in their house, you know? And it's like, uncomfortable. And what makes them think that people want to see this in their living room, you know what I mean? If they want to X-rated and, you know, some couple in their bedroom, fine. But in your living room where you've got kids coming and going and stuff,
it's bad. Everybody seems to think that the, you know, when the cable industry expanded and they said intended for mature audiences only, they're swearing all the time has anything to do with maturity, you know, or just because the rules are now, you know, all things are, you can do whatever you want. So let's throw in the F word just because they can. Again, not because it serves any creative or aesthetic purpose. They just do it because they can.
It's crazy. It just ruins the movie. Or, you know, I don't have anything against same sex or any. I don't care what people do if they're adults, consenting. I don't care. That isn't my business,
right.
You know. And I don't judge people. But the thing is that you don't have to have it in every single movie now. It doesn't even fit in some movies. And all of a sudden, you know, there it is again. It's like in your everything's in your face. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it doesn't bring it in gradually. It's just all of a sudden there it is. And it's like, well, where did that come from? What happened here?
Right.
You know? And it doesn't make any sense in the movie. But it's like, we're going to do this anyway. We don't care if you like it. We don't care if it doesn't fit. It does fit in the story or whatever. And the other thing is the mumbling. The mumbling, oh, drives me crazy. I'm like, what did they say? And then I try to turn it up because I think, well, I couldn't understand what they said because they're mumbling.
Right.
The actors
That's
are mumbling.
Right. That's right.
And, so,
and that is the director's fault. That is the sound mixer's fault. That is the actor's fault because nobody's teaching these actors project. Nobody's teaching these actors how to speak with diction. They're not being taught these things, and they're being encouraged to slur their words and act casually because that's what people do in real life. Well, guess what? The movies and TV shows are not real life, nor should they be. You know, they just shouldn't be. They're not. They were meant to be entertainment and heightened versions of reality. If I wanted reality, I'll go visit my neighbor.
That's how I feel. I feel like I go to the movies to be entertained. I watch a movie to be entertained, not to be educated, but to be entertained on somebody's political thing or whatever, you know, or when they go off on the political things, you know. You know, it's so obvious, you know what I'm saying, that they're trying to give you a political message. I don't need a political message in a romance. Hello.
Yeah.
You know? Don't do that, you know. It's like, oh gosh, I just wondered what your, you know, what was happening because it's so annoying, actually.
It is annoying.
So it is annoying. And so tell me, when is your book going to be coming out? Do you know, with Sean Connery?
The Sean Connery book should really be available in a couple of weeks, but the official launch is October 6th. Which is the 40th anniversary of Never Say Never Again. But it should be available for pre-order very, very soon, within a couple of weeks. All the other books, you know, you go to HerbieJPilato.com or you go to Amazon.com. Retroactive Television is available now. Switch Upon a Star is available now. Mary, the Mary Tyler Moore Story is available now. And then I have my special commemorative issue of the Bionic book, which is about the $6 million man and the Bionic woman. I have a revised edition of that book, and that's going to be out in October as well.
Oh, cool, before Christmas. And so tell me about your, because I don't want you to miss out here on this, because we don't get to talk very often. Your future book, A Biography of Diana Rigg, and who is Diana Rigg for those who don't know, and what is that about?
Diana Rigg, wonderful. It's called One Tough Dame, because she was a dame of an actress. She was Dame Diana Rigg, and she was also very tough in real life. So the name of the book is Diana Rigg, One Tough Dame, and that will be out in the spring, and she, of course, starred in the 1960s originally on the Avengers, not the Marvel Avengers, but the British spy series that ABC imported in the 1960s. And then in her later years, she starred in Game of Thrones and All Creatures Great and Small. And she did a wonderful film. Her last film was One Night in Soho, and she stole the movie. She was a terrific, terrific actress, and she didn't take any bunk from anybody.
Well, that's what made her terrific, probably.
That's right.
And so tell me, Herbie, before we have to close out, How's everything else going in your life? And do you are you in any romance, or what are you doing?
I'm interested in someone, and so I'm seeing how that's working out. But yeah, you know, I'm 35 now. Actually, I'm 63. And a long-term relationship has eluded me for one reason or another, but I am a couples person. I'm definitely a romantic, I'm a Libra. So, I'm always looking for love, many times in all the wrong places, but, so we'll see. We'll see.
You know, love will find you, don't you?
Oh yes, it will. It will. It always has. It just doesn't
it does.
Stick. You know, I'm looking
well,
for
know,
the love
you,
that sticks.
Maybe it's like a shoe. You know, you have to keep trying on your shoes to get the right fit.
Yeah.
But you're very lovable, Herbie, so I don't think you're going to have any problems in that area of your life. And you know, when you're so busy with your writing and your career, are you still doing your television show on cable?
No. No, that was just one beautiful season, and I was very pleased with it. And I wanted to do my own TV talk show my whole life. I did it, and now I've moved on. So,
yeah, it's fun to do things, isn't it, that are different. And you just, you know, that's what I say. I feel, my daughter, she's really artistic, and she does beautiful, inspirational writings and pictures and all that stuff, artsy stuff. And I said, you know, put it out there. And she's like, I go, just put it out there. Don't care what people think. If you like it, put it out there. Who cares? I go, there's always an audience. Somebody's going to love it. Somebody's going to say, oh, that's okay. And somebody's going to say, oh, I don't like that at all. I go, don't pay attention to them. If you like it, put it out there. You know?
Yeah.
And they're beautiful things, like you were saying, you know, if it's good and it's inspirational, people need to share their talent, you know, they need to share it with the world. And doesn't matter who likes it and who doesn't like it. It's that you love it, you did it, and God gave you that talent to do it. And I think that's what you're doing. And I'm so happy that you're doing all you're doing, especially about keeping up with the classics and the television shows that were just super popular and still remain today. People still watch.
Yeah.
They still go back. And so thank you so much for being on Columbo Chronicles again. I hope you'll join us again in the future and catch us up again on what else Herbie J. Pilato will be up to. God
well,
bless
you,
Herbie.
Rose. God bless you. You're always so cordial. I appreciate the time. And see you later, everybody. Bless you all.
Bye-bye. And Herbie J. Pilato has left the building, and you can just type in his name. It's H-E-R-B-I-E-J. Pilato. P like Paul, I-L-A-T-O. So type in his name, and you or go on Amazon, and you will find Retroactive Television, so you can pre-order the book. And on that note, remember, injustices can happen to you and they can happen to me, but together we can make a positive difference. Remember that you are never alone when you tune in to Columbo Chronicles Live. God bless you and God bless America and God bless our government. I hope it can find the path to peace and end all of these fights and bashing and reactions they're having towards each other and the entire federal government there attacking each other and former presidents and who are now civilians and so forth, and come to some kind of resolution and start concentrating more on our borders and on illegal immigration and on the economy and reducing inflation and how to get the CCP out of America, how to take back our country from communist China, who they've allowed to buy up, give back their money, and tell them sayonara, and so forth. So that's my little tidbit for today. So God bless you, and again, God bless America and everyone around the world. May God bring peace into your life.
Well, my friends, time flies, and now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Columbo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Columbo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.